I just learned how to pronounce his name correctly, so if that counts as something. When I was going into 10th grade, I worked in the JCC right by my house, the Bernard Horwich JCC, and I was a junior counselor. It was my first time working anywhere, and I had a counselor who was a really nice guy. His name was Avi Greer. I just happened to see him 3 weeks ago at a wedding. And I remember getting my first, I guess, progress report. And somebody came in and told it over. His name was Craig. Craig Newman, I think his name was. And he sat us down. He sat everybody down individually, and he told them what they thought they were doing well, what they thought they were doing badly. And he saw something in me which I thought changed quite a bit about how I worked with guys. And he said, you work really well with the guys that you like, and the guys that you don't like, you show them you don't like them. You're clearly putting them to the side. You have nothing to do with them, and you're not giving them anything. You're not helping them at all. So there are many reasons for that. I think there are many reasons why all of us sort of ignore the people that we don't necessarily like. Either they're nerdier than us, or they're cooler than us. They think they're better than us, or we think we're better than them. There's a bunch. It could deal with any one of the bad mitos that Vasil Sisharan brings up in the first couple of prakim. So it could be anything like that. And the truth is, it's all relative. It deals with yourself. See, the key is, when it comes to anything like this, and this is a lesson that I learned then, and I've been taking it with me wherever I go, is to know yourself, to know who you yourself are. And this is a massive lesson we learned from Ali Shor, from Revolvi, from Shlomo Volpi throughout the Sefer. His entire Sefer in the first Chelek is entirely about figuring out who you are. Who am I? What do I do well? And what do I do badly? What do I do to work on the things that I need to work on? It's not about anybody else. And therefore, he says, I can't give you a Musar Sefer that's going to tell you individually how to deal with your own problems. You have to deal with yourself. And there are some things that you shouldn't be working on. There are some things that you're going to need to work on more than anybody else. I happen to know that I have a massive, massive ego. So it seems to be like the reason why I put myself out there all the time is because I think I can do everything. So I know that about myself. So how do I work on that? I work on that by knowing this is what I know I can do. And when I know I can't do it, by saying it out loud and saying, I'm not going to put myself in a position to not succeed, I'm going to say, I can't do this. But this is a really important thing, to know yourself. And this is something that comes out in the second chelik of Ali Shor, to like yourself and to really like who you yourself are, right? That obviously it's v'ahavta lo'recha kamocha only once you have the kamocha part. Then you can start working on your friend. But until you have the kamocha, until you like yourself and you know yourself and you love yourself, there is no way you're going to be able to like other people. You're just going to project what your problems are on the other person. And if you see it, you can exacerbate it in the person opposite you, and you end up saying, well, that kid, right, he reminds me of me when I was a kid, and I don't like me. So therefore, I'm going to take out all my issues on that kid. Of course, in a way where I'm not going to show it to him. I'm just going to be passive-aggressive. And passive-aggressiveness will be like where I start showing or start doing something like that. So I'm sure there are kids that you have, either in your chaburas or in your just the kids that you're taking care of in some way, shape, or form that have that. I'm sure there are other madrichim that are like that. And I'm sure there are even rabbeim that are like that for you, where you're just sitting there and you're just like, it's not my guy. He's not the right type of person. But just understand, it's not about that person. It never is. It's never about what the other person does. It's all about you and your tolerance level for anybody and anything and what they do. Once you're able to tolerate certain things about yourself, then you can tolerate them in other people. You know, it's funny, Eldad and Medad were misnabim b'machaneh. They were prophesying in the camp in Parshat Va'losecha, right? So Yoshua goes up to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Adoni Moshe Kla'im, which, as a timeout, is a very funny thing. Yoshua has two lines in the entire Torah. Like, if there was a play and somebody played Yoshua, he would have two lines in the entire thing. Both times, he is destroyed by Moshe Rabbeinu. He says one in the bottom of Har Sinai, where he says, something's going on in the Machna, and Moshe Rabbeinu is like, you have no idea what you're listening to. Ein kol anos kibro, ein kol anos chalusha, kol anos enochi shomea. And over here, by Misnab Machna, Yoshua says, Adoni Moshe, my master Moshe, Kla'im, destroy these people. How dare they prophesy in front of you, especially with what they were saying, Moshe Meis Yoshua Machnes, how dare they say it? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I wish everybody could be like this. I wish everybody would be a Navi. And again, putting everything else aside, I'm not saying anything in Pshat, because you can't say anything like this about Yoshua. But the lesson, the drush that you can learn from the lesson of what Moshe Rabbeinu and what Yoshua did over here, is that Moshe Rabbeinu already understood himself. He was a leader who understood what his level was. And for everybody else to be on the level of a Navi, and to be that great and that awesome, said Moshe Rabbeinu, halavai, I wish everybody could be like this. I wish all of us could have that level where everybody is. While Yoshua, who is still not a leader, not yet on that level, is looking at everybody else and saying, why do they think they're better than me? Why are they prophesying? Well, I don't get to prophesy. For him to be able to say that, it's already, so to speak, taking it a level down and saying, how dare they? How can they get up there? And that's where it comes in, where you have Yoshua saying something versus Moshe Rabbeinu. There are, technically, the Gemara in Pesachim and Sadi Dalla says there are four times where Moshe Rabbeinu gets upset, and the Marshal brings down a fifth time, and each time he's punished. But there are two times where a visibly upset Moshe Rabbeinu, or at least the way that he projects himself to us, that the Torah shows it to us, he says something which is extraneous, something that shouldn't have been said, right? And he says something, and because of both of those things, two things that he said, he was punished for it. Number one was when he said, Shimu no hamorim, according to some of the Rishonim, this was the reason why he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, because he added on the words, Hamorim, listen please, or listen now, O rebellious ones. Do you think I can take water out of this rock? There is no reason he should have said the word Hamorim. And for whatever reason, even if he meant for it to knock down Klal Yisrael, that extra word Hamorim was definitely something that was caused by an extra bit of emotion that Moshe Rabbeinu had and allowed it to be there. And again, I'm not saying this in Pshat. In Pshat, we can't say something like that in Moshe Rabbeinu. In Drush, for us to take from and to learn from, clearly something is there from that word Hamorim. As a side note, did you guys all know that the difference between them, the reason why Hamorim was the word that he used, is because he really wanted to say the word Miriam. The Chassam Sofer says the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's used to bring water out of a rock is the name Miriam. But he messed up, how you say that about Moshe Rabbeinu, and said Morim. And he says the difference between Miriam and Morim is in the Nekudos. So he says, every Nekuda has a gematria, just like every letter does, says the Chassam Sofer. So a Chirik is like a Yud. A Kamatz is like a Vav and a Yud. So it counts as 16. So if you count it up, Miriam should be 10. There's a Shva, so that's 30 altogether, 20 plus 10, right? And then a Kamatz, right, which is another 10, so that's 40, and then 6. So it's 46 altogether. Morim, right, is just a Cholam and a Chirik. That's all it is, so it's 20. 46 minus 20 is 26. Says the Chassam Sofer, he added on, right, or messed up in not saying a shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he should have said. He messed up on a shame Havaya on Yudke Vavke on 26, and therefore he was punished because he messed up in the name of Hashem. He explains the measures through that. That's a side note over here. That's the idea by each one of them. When somebody does something to you, there should be no emotion. Meaning, let's say a little kid goes up to you and says you're ugly. You're going to listen to what a little kid says? Do you care what a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old kid, what are you going to do? You're going to punch the kid? You're going to punch the kid, oh no, ugly, you're ugly. That what you're going to get into? You're going to get into that? When a person is angry, when a person is emotionally compromised, they're little kids. They're little kids. There's something a little bit off. And you can treat them that way because that's truly who they are. I hate to say it this way, but like, you have to almost put yourself in their shoes and say, what happened to them? I'm going to give you a crazy story that happened with me. There was a kid who was unbelievably chutzpahic on the first day of camp here, of NCSY Kollel. Unbelievably chutzpahic. It wasn't to me, it was to somebody else. But the kid was like all over the place. And he's saying the worst things, like not swearing, but as close as you can get it. And he was saying something to somebody that I was like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with this kid? Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like so upset and I wanted to say something to him. And then he said Kaddish. When they were saying Kaddish, you know, later on during davening, I'm like, okay, I get it. I totally get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, until you put yourself into that kid's shoes, like, there's a kid who's obviously emotionally compromised, missing either a mother or father. I have absolutely no idea. And something is up. So if I would have just said to him, like, what's wrong with you? How could you do that? Not knowing exactly what's going on with that person, I probably would have lost this kid for life. Instead, I went up to him afterward a couple days later, and I tried to like sort of like get him into it, and I was trying to be like all punky with him, right, so that he could realize like Rabbi's a punk also, right? And then afterward, like sort of like slowly but surely, like took him on. the kid's a super nice kid. He just felt like he had to be the cool kid in the group, and his way of being cool was doing something like that. And again, if somebody gets offended by that, I don't blame you, but just remember, it's not about the emotions in this point, in this case. It's really about you yourself. If you know yourself, none of these kids can say anything to you, do anything to you, or have anything that's going to affect you. You just got to keep your emotions out of it, be able to take that calm, that big, big sigh, and just be like, it's not about me, right? It's about this kid. What does this kid need? What does this person need? And again, the same thing with Madrich. You see somebody who goes absolutely crazy in a basketball game, absolutely crazy. He's normally a normal person, right? But he has that mid of nitzachon. He has to win a game. And I was 100% into that when I was in my 20s. I could not lose games, and I couldn't stand it when things went wrong. And I would scream, I would yell, I would like go against the other guys. I'd just be like, what's wrong with you guys? And the realization like eventually hit me, like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? It makes absolutely no sense. I could care. This game means nothing. Absolutely nothing. What, so I have to sit out another game because of that? So I don't play in the next game because of it? Like, what in the world is wrong with me? And I actually made friends from that. There were people that, like, hated me when I was playing basketball with them. But I recognized what I was doing wrong and what it was, and that's that. And this is huge for the future with your kids and your wife. They know how to press your buttons more than anything else. You're going to have kids that will know everything about you. And they will, just like you know everything about your parents. You know exactly how to get your parents upset. You know exactly what you need to do in order to get your parents angry. And your siblings, your wife, your kids, they're going to press your buttons in the worst way possible. Now, if you know yourself, if we take the Ali Shore approach and we say, I'm fine. Like, it doesn't make a difference to me. He's a kid. There's something going on in school. There's something happening with this kid that's allowing him to be this way. Then nothing can affect you. You won't be able to get emotionally involved. And if you're not emotionally involved, you'll be able to respond in kind and you'll be able to do it. That doesn't mean, by the way, that you don't punish the kid or your wife. That should be like a timeout, like figure something out for that. But it doesn't mean that you don't punish the kid. You just got to figure out a punishment that's appropriate for the situation. I had a situation with a congregant of mine who was hitting his kid. Now, his line was, but the kid needs it. He's growing up spoiled, and he was a spoiled kid, right? And he had everything he wanted. There were times where he got too spoiled and just needed to be hit. That's the way the guy said. So I said, pull the Brisker Rav's approach. The Brisker Rav was famous that every Motzei Shabbos, he would pull his kids aside, right? And he would tell them about something they had done in the previous week, and he'd give them a smack, a hit, whatever it was, for what they had done in the previous week. I'm pretty sure this is why Briskers hold 120 minutes after Shkia, by the way, for Tzitzikul Chavim. Pretty sure that's why. Like, if I was there, I'd hold like 240 minutes for, you know, after Shkia. I'd just like keep going, you know? It totally makes sense to me. But the Brisker Rav used to do that, again, because he figured out, like, if I'm doing it emotionally, the kid does something wrong and I hit him right then it's not for the kid, it's about me. I'm getting upset at myself. I'm getting involved. But if I do it later on when I'm not emotionally involved and I'm saying I'm doing this for the kid needs a hit in some way, shape, or form, which I don't ascribe to now. This is 1930 versus 2022, right? But regardless, whatever the person needs, you figure out at a different time, you're able to do it. And the last thing I'm going to end with is the way the Chofetz Chaim used to look at things. There's an unbelievable story that I saw not too long ago. I said in a Chumash here like 5 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago about the Chofetz Chaim, that there were two kids in yeshiva in Radin. One of the kids, the yeshiva brought up to the Chofetz Chaim, he was Machal Shabbos. Now, Bitzina, but he's found to be Machal Shabbos, and he clearly wasn't there. And they went to the Chofetz Chaim, they said, we have to kick the kid out of yeshiva, but they wouldn't do anything without the Chofetz Chaim's permission, even though the Chofetz Chaim had nothing officially to do with Radin, with the yeshiva itself. He wasn't a Rav, he wasn't a yeshiva. He was just treated as the leader of Radin. So they said to him, what do we do? And the Chofetz Chaim said, hire him a chavrusa, show him Yiras Shemayim, and work with him so he, you know, builds his way up and becomes something, becomes something different. Another kid showed chutzpah to the cook, like yelled at the cook that the food wasn't good, which I'm sure it wasn't, right? And, you know, like rotten in the 1920s, I'm sure it was absolutely terrible food. And the cook went up and said he was chutzpidik to me. They went to the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim said, get rid of the kid immediately. He said, chutzpah, you can't handle. You can't do anything with chutzpah. You can't teach chutzpah. You can teach Yiras Shemayim and get a kid to stop breaking Shabbos. But chutzpah, there's nothing you can do. I'm not going to argue with the Chofetz Chaim, but again, over a period of almost 100 years, things have definitely changed. I've learned over the years that when people especially with kids, when they do something which I think they should be kicked out for, the first thing I do is I find out what their name is, and I start davening for them in my Shemona Esrei. If you're not davening for your chabura or the kids that are in your dorm rooms, etc., whatever the dorms are, right, I would suggest doing that. When you daven for somebody, when you put them into your tefillos, even if you don't know their last names, I could care less. Just think of their face and just have their names inside your head. And if you don't know their names, make up a name. That's fine. Just have the person's head inside there. If you're not davening for them, you're not going to have that connection with them that you would otherwise. Everything changed when I was told that I could start davening for my kids in a certain way. And I did it. I really started davening for it when I was still in yeshiva. I davened that my future kids should have Yiras Shemayim and Yiras Chet, even before they were born. And then afterward, I put them in somewhere, whether it's Shema Koleinu or at the end of davening, right before Yilul Ratzon. Once you start davening for them, things become very different. It's already almost on your shoulders. It becomes almost your responsibility, where you realize, you recognize that, again, there's somebody that I have to take care of. It's almost like my kid. It changes everything. It mamish changes everything and allows you to become a little bit different in how you're treating a kid and how you treat yourself. So again, the concepts that I brought down over here, there are a bunch of reasons why people might be different and why you might be upset at a kid or a counselor or somebody else that's around you that might be over there. And the key is to know yourself and to know who you are as a person. We gave examples from the Torah of Eldon, Amedad, Moshe Rabbeinu getting upset, etc. We said to try to look at them from their perspective as opposed to anything else. And it's huge for you in the future, in your future relationships with your wife, with your kids, etc., as well as knowing yourself, knowing, understanding what they are, and then to eventually be able to put yourself into a position where you can daven for them. And once you do that, that changes your whole perspective and how they're going to be. All right, Shkach, everybody, have a good morning, Seder.